You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Since my baby left me. Well, I found a new place to dwell. That's all right. Well, where it thinks, it sounds raga. It don't want to go raga. No, it doesn't. It does. It does. Since my baby left me. Barbershop raga. Watch the new hospital. Sorry. Oh, this is terribly depressing.
It really puts perspective on things, though, doesn't it?
Not too much. It's too much perspective now.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On tonight's Perspectives, we're exploring self-worth and social media. Is there a healthy balance? You know, are you addicted to the like button on social media? Whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, they all have this like button. The like button is the star of the show nowadays, and for many of us, when we get those likes, it brightens our day. Makes us feel happy. You know, to me, the like button is similar to receiving a slight compliment. You know, not one of those direct compliments, but that slight compliment. You know, maybe the wink, the wave, or the smile. Good evening, Bill. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, Ashley. About yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I got a lot of likes on my Facebook and Twitter here and some retweets, and I was really happy today.
La-di-da-da. You got likes and messages
and
on your Facebook. Woo-woo-woo. So I guess your self-worth is pretty high right now, huh?
I think so. I don't know. It's kind of an empty feeling, though.
Well, I mean, and you know me. I'm not that much of a social media maven. I know lots of people who are, and yeah, you're right. I mean, it's I wonder how some people would actually live without their Facebook or their Twitter or whatever.
I agree with what you're saying, and I think a lot of people listening understand exactly what we're talking about, because, you know, like, the like is really not a direct compliment. It really is like a second look. It's like being recognized, right? It's like having, like, I like to talk, I think it's like getting attention.
It's more of a like, okay, saw your post, and, you know, it just an acknowledgement. I saw your post, moving on.
Someone's paying attention to me.
Yeah.
Someone's paying attention to me. Oh, my God. I think it boils down to receiving attention. I mean, I think it's inherent to social media. I think social media actually is the vehicle, right, that's driving us down that proverbial wall. And we're going to hit that wall at about 150 miles an hour. Or you wanted to say rocket speed, right?
I wanted to say 250 miles an hour.
250 but, miles an hour.
But 150 will cause some serious damage. So we'll let it go.
But I do think it is the vehicle of this attention vehicle. Like, am I getting enough attention? And I think that we're relying on social media to define ourselves too much.
Oh, I definitely 100% agree with that. Yes. I think that people spend so much time on their phones, on their computer, you know, whatever, in Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest. I think there's a handful of others that are just coming up. So it wasn't too long ago when it was MySpace.
That
was all the rage. And I know when it first came out, it for me, it was kind of like, you know, a shiny new toy. And I got a little too much into it, and I finally had to kind of consciously back off of it.
The addiction.
It was taking up a little too much of my time. But now we've got, what, 10, you know, a dozen, 100, you know, of these different sites that you can do. And now with Facebook, there's even the Messenger app. So you don't even have to bother going into Facebook anymore. You can just IM somebody with the Messenger app.
People can interrupt you in a totally new way.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, distract you. You can wrap your lives up in something new now. So,
you know, it's funny you brought that up. Earlier, before I got to the studio, I got several messages from a friend in India, and we're on different time zones, so I instantaneously was like, oh, I better answer him right now. And I was like in the middle of doing all this stuff, and I caught myself stopping everything I was doing, and finally I was like, wait a second, how long have I been doing this?
Right.
I mean, really, at certain times of the day, it's this is not going to work. I'm not answering text messages. Why am I, you know, answering instant messaging?
Yeah.
I don't get it. You know, there was a study, the University of Salford in the UK did a study last year on social media's effect on self-esteem and anxiety, and reported that 50% of their 298 participants said that their use of social networks like Facebook and Twitter makes their life worse. You know, it also reported that participants said that their self-esteem suffers when they compare their own accomplishments to theirs of their online friends. I think that's interesting. I think it's making sense right now.
I absolutely agree with that. I do think that it's almost like a drug, isn't it? I'll bet if those researchers had hooked up like a blood pressure gauge or whatever to people who are on social media, then they'd be getting the same reaction as somebody, you know, on a high.
I'm glad you brought that up, Bill. You know, in addition to this, this same study, you know, out of the UK, they say that, a quarter of the participants cited work or relationship difficulties because of online confrontation. And more than half reported that they feel worried or uncomfortable when they can't access Facebook or their email.
Yeah, they jones. They go into jonesing, like withdrawal symptoms, you know, like somebody who's on cocaine or, you know, alcohol or whatever, you know, they
or just, cigarettes.
In fact, here's an anecdote for you, actually. I know an acquaintance, I should say, with this woman. She's a little on the youngish side, if that matters. But I can remember a few months ago where her phone died. That happens to everybody, right? But she literally started to panic. You know, does anybody have a charger? Can I plug in my phone someplace? I'm just sent a message to, you know, this guy, and I'm waiting for him to hear back. I don't want him to think I'm ignoring him. Or, you know, in other words, she started talking like a million miles an hour, and the look on her face, you know, the deer in the headlights look.
Her pupils all dilated?
Yeah, pupils all dilated, you know, eyes big as dinner plates. I mean, she went through withdrawal symptoms, and for the next 2 hours, she couldn't let it go. I mean, she was just
I was like, leave, go home.
It's like she was almost shaking. You know?
Leave my home.
And I think at that point, I use the drug reference on purpose. I think if it gets to the point where, just like alcohol or drugs, if you need it, if you need that social media interaction rather than just want it or enjoy it, if you need it to function, that's when it's gone too far.
It's almost like the idea of being addicted to drugs or recreational use, you know? And I think it's the same for social media. It causes low self-esteem and anxiety. I'm not recommending recreational drug use here on the show, but I am saying that there is a difference between, okay, once a week, and a difference between complete full-on addiction. And I think most of us don't realize that we are fully addicted to social media.
Oh, we absolutely do, because, and I don't know what else that study says, but I'm willing to bet that for some people, interacting on social media produces an endorphin high, and you start to crave it and want more of it and more of it and more of it, and until you just can't let it go.
Oh my goodness. I think you're right, because you can get all locked into that. Oh, how many people like my picture, or how many people like my comment, or I can't believe they didn't like my comment. I had a friend of mine the other day say that, I guess he had made a few comments about, you know, the recent Ebola situation here in Dallas, and there was a lot of issues in those situations, and he made a comment about how you could get it and that sort of thing, and people actually argued with him, and it became like a 200-comment argument.
Oh, good grief.
And then people actually, there's some sort of personal blog you can create on your own Facebook, and they created a personal blog directly related to his comment and were actually beating him down on that blog, and then he went and found that, and then he started commenting on that too.
And just think how much time that took out of people's lives.
It's like, at what point in time do you say, hey, it's fine. I mean, you can believe what all you read. You don't have to take my word for it. Let me let this go, and let me actually get back to my work, get back to my family, get back to my children, right?
Right.
I mean, what is up with that? But it was the need to be right, the need to be heard, right, and the need for affirmation. Because, I mean, it is. It's true. I mean, I think that's what that study was talking about, is the confrontations on Facebook. I mean, when you start something, you open up a can of worms or whatever, and people want to confront you, do you just walk away? They feel like they're being a coward.
Well, and YouTube is another good example of that phenomenon, where, you know, the YouTube trolls, you know, somebody will post a video on YouTube, and somebody will disparage it just for, you know, just for kicks, and will start like 100, you know, line war.
Really?
You ought to go on YouTube sometime and check out the comment section.
Oh, yeah, but they have the upside down thumb, too.
Yeah, they have the upside down thumb or the right side up thumb, but then go down to the comment section sometime. And
it's bad, isn't it?
And it's like, you know,
the diatribe.
These are probably literally, you know, kids sitting in their mother's basement or in their bedroom.
Or their mothers sitting in the basement.
Or their mothers sitting in the basement, yeah. Right, why not? And just with nothing else better to do but go trolling. On the internet, and they get a kick out of it. It's like a drug.
That's amazing. Yeah, everybody has something bad to say, right? There's a lot
of
people out there.
You would think that people figure it out, I should say. You think people would figure it out at some point and say, okay, that's a troll, not going to respond.
But they just keep arguing with it.
Not going to feed the troll.
But they keep arguing with it.
Yeah, they keep arguing. It's like you can't help yourself.
It's just like you have to fight. It's like fight or flight, right?
Yes.
Oh, I got to fight this person. You know, there was another study out of the University of Pittsburgh and Columbia Business School that found that users who are focused close on their friends, I'm not really sure what close to your friends mean in this situation, because I think most people consider, like, I don't know, 5% of their friends on Facebook as close friends. I have more than that. I do have a lot of friends on Facebook that we hang out together personally and that sort of thing. But that they actually tend to experience an increase in self-esteem when they're browsing social networks, and afterwards they display less self-control. The study also goes on to correlate that higher social network use with higher body mass index and higher levels of credit card debt. I'm not really sure how accurate that is. But I think the main argument hits the spot is that it's a positive comments on social media can and do boost your self-esteem and thus can influence our behavior. And I think that's interesting. When we return, we're going to be talking more about how to explore social media, how to understand when you are compromising your self-worth, and how to create a healthy balance. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On tonight's Perspectives, we're exploring self-worth and social media. Is there a healthy balance? Are you addicted to the like button on social media? I think a lot of people have to really think about that question, because I think a lot of us are. You know, a recent article out of Forbes magazine discussed, we live in a world where people are quick to judge others based on what? Perception rather than reality. Where people believe that there's more value in on how you package yourself than there is in the real you. And this leads people to think that it's better to sell this perception versus reality, and also reinforce the fact that people don't value themselves really as much as they should, regardless of their professional status and regardless of their credentials. And I think this is an interesting concept when we're talking about self-worth on social media. It's about how social media is really creating experts, and I'm using the air quotes, experts, and giving people credibility without credentials. Think about it. You know, it seems that 3/4 of social media is all about perception, and little is true and about true perspective. I mean, how many of us look at someone's Facebook page or look at some sort of business page and, you know, you automatically believe some sort of credentials or some sort of street cred or credibility when there might not be any there?
Right. It's kind of like virtual reality becomes, you know, actual reality, or maybe to put it another way, life imitating art. It resembles the general problem with the internet in that. So it used to be where you had maybe one or two local newspapers and the three national TV networks and the three national radio networks, and that was your filter for information. Now it's, if you go on the internet to look something up, there's got to be hundreds of sources where you can get that information. You got to be very careful what you use. And so I think that has translated into the social media realm, where somebody can just start a blog, just start pontificating, and depending on how well that person crafts their argument,
so
people start following them, and you know, like I said, virtual reality becomes actual reality.
Yeah, it's like the power of perception over reality.
Yeah.
You know, someone might have, you know, how many friends, 5,000 Facebook friends, 10,000 followers on Twitter, you know, yada, yada, on LinkedIn, you know, all this.
Well,
Instagram.
This person must be important.
they must be important.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't define their true value. It actually doesn't define their real influence, I think. And I think that's interesting because they're actually actively building an online identity different from a real identity.
Kind of like an avatar.
Like an avatar.
Yeah.
It's like their online persona. You know, and I think it's interesting how social media measurement tools like clout.com and cred.com reward you and your perceived influence based on the online impact of your content followership.
Well, and they're just Johnny come latelys to the table. Ever since, I can remember ever since MySpace. And think how ancient MySpace sounds.
It's weird, it does seem like a long time ago.
It wasn't that long ago when everybody was about MySpace and you know, all the cute little things you could do to it. So even back then, it was like, how many followers can you get?
And even back then, people use perception as their reality, even when it represents no real value whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly. So if somebody has more followers, then they become instantly credible. And you know, just like you said, we don't know the substance beneath the style, beneath the surface.
You're right. It's like the perceptional power, really, of social media has allowed people to position themselves as experts. And I think that's interesting.
I'm sorry, Ashley. I was going to say, just thought of something else. How many internet celebrities?
That's interesting.
Have there been? I'm trying to think.
What about the three boobed girl recently?
Yeah, there
Let's
you
talk
go.
About her. Do you believe that to be real?
No, it's probably internet hoax. But there you go. You know, I mean, Photoshop is so easy to use that. It probably took that person less than 5 minutes.
But someone would go that far to have a third boob or claim that a third boob has been added to her body. I mean, she looks crazy.
I mean, but look at all the attention she's getting.
Amazing.
I was thinking more along lines of Kim Kardashian.
Oh.
I
went to the third boob girl.
Paris Hilton, but it's the same thing, you know? I mean, what value did these people bring to society? Other than just salacious entertainment, and they're making a heck of a lot of money off their fame, aren't they?
They really are. And it is interesting how we do see them as some sort of street cred. You give them credibility based on no credibility. And I know, Bill, I know that I'm partial to blame a little bit, because when someone doesn't have a social media page, right, whether it's Twitter or Facebook, I question them.
Yeah, I wonder who you questioned. All you listeners out there, let me tell you something. Okay, so a few months ago, when Ashley wanted to start live blogging during our shows in order to get a listener reaction, she wanted, I'll tell you what, get up your Facebook and your Twitter accounts and start blogging. And I said, oh, well, Ashley, I don't have a Twitter. I can do Facebook. I don't have Twitter. I kid you not, she looked at me like I have a third eye on my forehead. She literally could not believe.
Exaggeration.
No, it's not exaggeration. You looked at me like you don't have Twitter. How do you live without Twitter?
I might have.
It's like you could not believe I
might have looked at you strangely.
In fact, you threatened me a few times since then. I'm going to get you a Twitter account.
I have threatened him a bit. I really have. Not in a bad way. Not like his life or anything like that. But yeah.
I think that's the next step, though.
And it's funny because I think a lot of people do seek strong social media influence to a valuable asset. And I think, does our lack of social media participation really minimize opportunities in our career? And I think sometimes we do look at people that don't have certain social media, platforms, and we're like, what's wrong with you? Like, what's wrong with you? And I've even questioned people. I don't know so much on LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn is something, you probably should have as a business person. I mean, I do think that LinkedIn is something good. But then again, I've been indoctrinated into the social media that this is different social media, though. This is for business. This is for professionalism, And I don't know. Is that right? Is that wrong?
And, how many people, in fact, you and I know, we have a mutual acquaintance who uses her Facebook as basically her business. And she uses Facebook in order to get business contacts. And I think if she were here, she would say, well, I mean, that may be true for some people, but for me, Facebook is, necessary for my business. You know what I mean? So she may be have bought into that in the same way you have, just on a different platform.
I understand. Yeah, I think though social media in general creates people. It allows you to create someone. It creates their self, right? It creates your own identity and also an own reality. And I think that's the confusing part. I think that in the past, like before social media, you compared yourself to people you saw on the street. You compare yourself to people you saw on TV. You compare yourself to your friends, right? But you don't really compare yourself to a digital imprint of your friend.
Right.
The perception, the digital perception that they've created on the internet, you wouldn't normally compare yourself to that. And I think that's where the difference lies nowadays.
Yeah, the avatar, you know, what that person only wants you to see. I mean, I'll make another, I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep going back to this, but I do think it's an addiction in the same sense as drug and alcohol. So let's take alcohol. There's nothing inherently wrong with alcohol. It's just that some people, you know, based on their personality or their life experiences, have the propensity to either misuse or abuse it. And I think that social media is the same thing. There's nothing inherently wrong with it, and there's a lot of positives about it. It's just that some people will misuse or abuse it.
I agree with you. And I also think, unfortunately, though, that some people are actually using social media as a self-proclamation expert thought leader type thing, leveraging themselves in a self-promotional platform. And I understand that, but I just don't know if it has really purposeful intentions. I think that sometimes it loses its purpose, or maybe its purpose is to get people to believe that they're in a certain level, they're on a certain line of reasoning,
That's what I think. They want people to think that they're the experts or credible in some
area. Or the pictures of the private jets. You know, or you see that kind of thing, and you're wondering, is it their jet? Did they just take that? You know, is that a stock photo? You know, or the cars or the houses or anything? You know, even the quotes and different things that you see on there. Like, I even see some people on LinkedIn that I don't even think have worked for 10 years, and apparently they're a genius. They're a genius with a 200 IQ that run 15 companies, and you know, we're supposed to bow down to them, but I don't remember them working in the last 10 years. But oh well, that's part of it, I guess.
I
know them personally, so maybe that's a problem.
Well, there you go. So
maybe I'm only supposed to know them online.
Well, yeah. So if you didn't know them personally, then you know this avatar that that person has created, you know, would be credible, wouldn't it?
It's interesting. It's interesting sometimes when. You know, with our own life, it would be kind of nice to like start kind of repairing that side of our life instead of trying to make this one so darn amazing looking to the outside world. I don't know. And it's hard to start realizing what's reality and what's fantasy after a while.
Well, and maybe we can get into this more in the next segment, but you've heard the old saying, clothes make the man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, that concept has been with us forever. You know, people put on a facade that they want people to believe in. It's just that I think that social media has made it more efficient.
I think you're right, because also you see it more. And there's been a lot of articles that have come out about how people remember updates and pictures on social media more than they actually remember, you know, comments and things in person. We'll talk about that later. So stay tuned. When we come back, we'll be exploring more about self-worth, more about how to balance your life with social media. Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 570 KLIF.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's Perspectives, we're exploring self-worth and social media. Is there a healthy balance? Can you have one? Are you addicted to the like button? Are you addicted to seeing the likes that you have every day on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the list goes on? You know, we've been talking about it, but we've been kind of beating around the bush, but not really. I think it's all perception, not perspective. And in a recent, in a recent article in Time Magazine, they did a study. And the study notes that both men and women feel pressure to portray themselves, right, in the best of light to their Facebook friends. But men are more likely to post more self-promotional content in their About Me and Notes sections than women, although women are more likely to stress their physical attractiveness and sociability. That's interesting.
Oh, I mean, and you hate to stereotype people, but many times there's a kernel of truth in those stereotypes, aren't there?
I agree with you.
And I think, absolutely. I mean, for men, it's all about chest beating. You know, look how smart, intelligent, rich, you know, powerful that I am, you know, kind of the Tarzan thing. For women, you know, because even in this day and age, Don't we still all judge both genders alike? Don't we all still judge women based on their physical attractiveness, regardless of their abilities?
A lot of times, yes. That's why the third boob girl got all interesting. Yeah. You know, think about that.
I mean,
it's something different. Oh my God!
To this day, I'll still hear some female will get up on say TV and start giving her opinion on some subject, and inevitably I'll hear somebody say, "She wore that."
Oh yeah,
you know, I mean, no response about the merits of what she's actually saying, you know. So
it's true. Well, it's funny because this article goes on to say it seems that the positive effects of being socially connected like supersede the negative consequences of feeling inferior or left out by your circle of friends. But it also suggests that hurtful feelings seem to be growing, that Facebook and other social media may no longer be a fun way to stay connected with friends, but also actually could be causing stress for people.
Well, and you know, Ashley, you and I talked about this before the show tonight, and I agree with everything, all the studies and the articles you just said, except for that last point. I don't think that social media is the cause of all of this. I think it's been with us forever. It's just that social media is now the medium through which all this is being expressed, and it's a much more effective medium. More efficient.
It's a great medium.
You know, for
it's
all
much better than just the phone.
But I mean, think about back in the day, say about 50 years ago, and you're talking about you don't have Twitter, you don't have Facebook. Well, back in the day, it kind of got to be where did people have telephones in their home? And the old rotary telephone. You put your finger in the little dial. And if you didn't have that in your home, then something was wrong with you. But people then started, instead of interacting face to face, then they would talk on the phone for hours.
Exactly.
On the telephone.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. I was never allowed to, though. I never had my own phone either. And my phone was being watched. It was being policed.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's the same way in our house too. But the point being is that tendency to escape human social interaction for virtual social interaction has been with us, and the tendency to judge people based on their appearance and the facade that they choose to put forward has always been with us. It's just so I don't think that social media is the cause; it's the medium.
I see your point, and I do feel that way. I do feel that we have been like that for all time. If you think about it, most of us do vie for attention. Most of us seek approval from others outside of ourselves, and I think the seeking of approval from other people besides yourself is the big thing, because we all feel like we're being judged a lot. We all feel like we need other people's approval to make us feel better about ourselves, because if the cool kids approve of us, then we're in. You know, I mean, think about in high school. I mean, you wanted the cool kids to like you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you and I, but not to give anything away, but we are of an age before smartphones and the internet. And so back in high school, I mean, we knew the people who wanted to be part of the cool crowd and had to be part of every social group there was, or that person was miserable.
Well, it's interesting now. It's like you have to be in charge of, you have to be in the cool crowd in high school. But on top of that, you got to be in the cool crowd on Facebook, Instagram. And then also you have like bullying on campus and bullying on Facebook. And so then it's not only about being cool at school, it's about being cool socially on social networking. And that can destroy you faster than anything else either.
I mean,
somebody decides to put up a bad picture of you or to make fun of you, all of a sudden it goes all over the school. And then there you have to deal with it the next morning. Well, so it doesn't stop at school. It continues all night to the next day.
Yeah. I mean, what was it earlier this year or last year, that poor girl up in Missouri?
Oh, yeah.
Who committed suicide over virtual bullying.
Right, because it never ended.
Yeah.
Because it's like, like at least you could come home at 3:30, get away from it, and realize, okay, I have to deal with the bully tomorrow, but I don't have to deal with it from now on out until 8:30 a.m. the next day. And I do think, let's get back to this concept, because I do think it is all about perception. And like you said, what a man wears, makes the man. And I think, clothes, like they always say, clothes make the man, clothes make the woman, what have you. And that's becoming more and more the truth. I mean, whether it's hair extensions, whether it's fake nails, fake lashes for women, whether it's a very expensive suit for a man, very expensive clothing, the way your hair is done, the cars that you drive, and now it's only magnified even more based on social media, because you don't even have to see this in person; you can see it on a social media site, and then you make your own judgments based on the perception that's given to you. That perception could be, you'd see a guy in a Ferrari, let's say.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, he's got it all together. Well, you don't realize he works at the Ferrari dealership, and he's doing service in the service department.
Or maybe he just rented it.
Or maybe he just rented it.
You know?
Or maybe it is his car, but, you know, the bank's after him, you know, and he's going through all this. You never know. I mean, yeah, he could have all this money, but the point is, it's all our perception. And I think that's interesting, too, because every time I see people really boasting and bragging on social media, I do realize that sometimes it's probably a ruse. Or it's somebody that's needing affirmation really badly.
You know, the chest beating, type of thing. And, you know, so I think that kind of goes back to my point. I mean, for some people, their self-worth is tied up in how many friends and how many social groups, that they belong to. 'Twas ever thus. It's just that now that's being expressed through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, yada, yada, yada.
That's interesting. I also think it's interesting how you can read something on Facebook and you can think that somebody told you it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like you'll be like, oh yeah, weren't you talking about that the other day? And they'll be like, no. And it was somebody's status update.
Right.
And so it's almost becoming almost like it's kind of like a gossipy tone if you think about it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And so instead of gossiping around the water cooler, now we're gossiping on Facebook.
I mean, think about news headlines. How they're using news headlines within social media as well. It's all over Twitter. It's all over Facebook, by the way. And being able to shade things one way or another based on perception. You know, what people want to see. I think there's some experiments as recently done on CNN where people were recalling random stories and random entertainment headlines and how those seem to be more memorable than certain stories. And I think that's interesting how our minds work and how social media is kind of like mind ready. Like it's creating these things that we remember even more clearly than we remember things that actually happened in person.
Yeah.
Or we forget where we heard it from.
I mean, it's kind of, you remember the controversy last year when Facebook changed its security statuses to where they created that algorithm that would track your tendencies and therefore present like articles or products or news headlines that would most match up
to
your interest.
I remember.
A lot of people just went ape. Bat crazy
I want to see bat crazy. I want to see ape / bat crazy.
I was about to say something else, but this is a family show.
It's kind of family.
Depends on your family. And but anyway, so people got crazy about that. It's like, invasion of privacy, blah, blah, blah. And now a year later, it's just part of the background noise.
And every time they do change that, you have to be aware of it. And I think that's interesting. But yeah, it is part of the noise. And it seems like there's so much noise. And I do think, like you said, this is more of the medium, a delivery of approval than it is the actual painful situation of approval. And I agree with that. But I do, again, think that it's taking up a lot of our time and it's causing a lot of noise. And I think it's also stressing people out to a degree because it's just one more thing that you have to create some sort of perception. It's one more thing that you have to create like this secondary life. And I think a lot of people listening tonight know that sometimes it can be hard to differentiate between the two. Like, who am I supposed to be? Am I supposed to be this? Or am I supposed to be that? Or who do people really want me to be? Or who are people really? And am I living up to the expectation or am I not? So when we return, we're going to discuss the four ways you can create a healthy balance with social media. And I think this is going to really help you put things in perspective. And I think it's also going to really help your life because it's going to give you back a little bit of your time. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes. I can lift you up. I can
show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Well said. David, how did that make you feel?
I know my truth.
Excuse me?
I know my truth.
Did you say I know my truth? Oh, boy.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been exploring self-worth and social media. Can you have a healthy balance? And I believe that you can. So let's begin talking about the four ways and the four things that you can do to create a healthy balance in your life with social media. First thing is, I believe that you have to realize your truth and realize truth in general versus perception.
Yeah, and you have to know yourself, don't you? I mean, I think kind of a general topic that you and I have discussed on previous shows, which, by the way, please go to either iTunes or AshleyBurgess.com, and you can listen to podcasts of our previous shows.
And on iTunes, all you have to do is put in Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, and you'll find it like
there
that.
There you go. So there, yeah.
But yeah, realizing truth versus perception. I think that's really, really important. And I think the way that you do that is to realize that a lot of social media is not presenting the truth.
Right.
To realize that.
It's only an avatar. It's only what somebody or something, you know, is putting up there for you to see.
Again, it's another media. I mean, for everybody out there listening that thinks that, you know, media is either liberal or conservative, or there's one way or there's another way, or somebody that's trying to sell you a bill of goods is not going to work. Again, this is the same thing. These are individual medias. Individual medias created to get you to feel a certain way based on what they want to get you to perceive and to believe about them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I wear certain clothing, if I do certain things, if I have certain shoes on, if I put a certain comment down, I must be the busiest person in the world. I must be the most amazing person in the world with the most luxurious life there is. And if you're buying into this, you're probably, you know, not very happy with your life. You're, you know, not, and that's the key. And I think that we have to realize that.
Yeah, I mean, it fits into the general concept of, some people's self-esteem and self-worth is tied up in how they interact with as many people as possible. So I think, first of all, you have to know yourself and realize that, you know, maybe you are worth more than just the sum of the friends that you are acquainted with.
And yeah, and realizing the truth behind that and realizing what merit that really serves, and also realizing the truth that your life is different from what you're showing you as well on Facebook, you as well on social media. So it's not just about everybody else that's, you know, offering their versions of themselves. You are too. We all are doing it to some degree. People are implying and judging of what they see. You might not be trying to do that. You might not be trying to show something that people are getting, but you have to realize that other people are perceiving things as well. I think the second thing you can do to create a healthy balance with you and social media is to realize and become aware when you are comparing yourself to others. And not just comparing yourself to others, but comparing yourself to others and the perception you have of them. So, I mean, you know, a lot of times, you know, you've always heard everybody, well, don't, you know, your mom, don't compare yourself to others, honey. You're just as good as they are, so you don't have to worry about it. But no, this goes a step further. This goes to not comparing yourself to others' perceptions that they've created. And I think because that's the toughest thing is that you'll never live up to that. Nobody can. Barbie doll can't. The Barbie doll can never live up to the perception of dealing with other women's perceptions that she reads about on Facebook.
Yeah, Barbie can't live up to Barbie.
No.
Yeah,
Barbie would never be as good as Barbie. Barbie can't even stand up to Barbie.
That's right.
Totally different league. I mean, come on.
Did you read, I read something, I don't know if it was a year ago or something like that, but anyway, if Barbie were a real human female, like the dimensions would be, 6 feet tall and 45, 22, 36, or some like unreal, impossible dimensions.
Sounds like something you'd see at the fair.
Well, yeah, you have to, you know,
buy some tickets for it.
Buy 20 coupons or whatever, but
pay tickets for it. People pay tickets for it. No, but, you're right, though. I mean, it's completely out of proportion.
Yeah.
I mean, and people judge themselves based on it. And you know, there was a time when we were kids and you play with dolls and stuff, but I think this whole scenario, I mean, kids, girls would play with dolls. I'm talking about myself.
Boys play with action figures. Go G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe. I like that. Roof. Yeah. Ooh, manly.
Transformers.
Ooh, manly. Yes. So let's talk about that. So think about that perception. Don't compare yourself to other people's, made up perceptions. And I think that's inherently important because that can really make you sad. And I think the third thing you can do to create your own healthy balance with social media is to trust yourself. Trust yourself.
That's really good. Yeah.
You know, people will value you more if you can believe, and if they believe that you're just as impressive in person. So think about this. Trust yourself to be you. I mean, I think people embrace you when they know that you're just the same person that they think you are. I mean, like, you know, the last thing you want to do is to meet somebody and realize, well, who the heck is that? And I think it's impressive when people meet people and they're just as impressed as they are meeting them in person than they were on the online experience.
But here's the catch to that. You have to actually be comfortable with interacting with live human beings. And, you know, the thing about social media is that you get more used to interacting through the electronic beast in front of you rather than an actual human being. And so it's kind of like, you know, remember when your mother used to say, you know, you get off the phone, you can only watch 1 hour of TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever. Well, it's the same thing. I mean, you know, maybe you restrict yourself to 1 hour a day of social media and try to do things that you actually interact with live people.
I like that. It's like kids, get outside, okay? You know, if you have young kids, even if you're, I mean, even you listening, get outside, move around, walk, do some stuff, hang out in nature. Get more adept to what's real. Understand what reality is. I mean, you know, I think it's funny when people are creating like trees and stuff on a computer when they can just go outside and experience a tree. I mean, it's amazing. It's like you already got one. Just go out there and use it. You know, go out there and hang out by it, read a book by it. You don't have to sit there and manufacture trees, like in Lego trees. I mean, think about the kids are over there making Lego trees.
Yeah.
And they got 15 trees in the backyard. Go experience life. Go breathe the oxygen, you know, become part of it. And trust yourself to, you know, to allow yourself to be the person you are.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I mean, it could be something as simple as just going down to Starbucks and maybe striking up a conversation with the person that sits down next to you.
That's a good idea. That's a great idea.
Now, they may put a hand in your face and or just ignore you while they're tapping on their smartphone. But, hey, you know, I mean, it's something, right?
Yeah, and I think opening yourself up to other people is awesome because you can have interaction, you can experience it, and it's also one-on-one. And lastly, but you know how it is with me. You know, the last thing always seems to be the most important thing. I always like to do that. I don't know why I like to do that, but I do.
Save the best for last.
So number four, how to create your own healthy balance in social media is you only have so much time, people. So manage it wisely and think about the bigger picture and the impact you can create. Right.
Well, I guess I got ahead of you, didn't I? You know, I mean, you know, maybe limit yourself to 1 hour a day. You know, it's like when you're at work. I mean, okay, you're on your break or lunch break or whatever. If you want to check your Facebook just to see who may have posted or sent you a message or whatever, there's nothing wrong with that. I do that.
Yeah.
You know, then maybe when I get home at night, I'll check it another time and, you know, maybe make a few posts myself and that's it. I'm done.
But nobody's going to give you the Medal of Honor for being on social media 21 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to think about it. You got to manage your time wisely. It's the bigger picture. You got to create in the real world. So realize that. And in the end, what this is what's really valued, right? Your time is golden. Use it wisely, you know? And that's the key, is that a lot of times we're too busy making this persona, making this, you know, the social media, making this electronic version of ourselves so great that we're not taking our own time in our life to better our own life. Because sometimes we can make changes. Sometimes we need to make changes, okay? It's not all about what people perceive. It's about our real life and how you live it.
Yeah.
And I think if it's about time, if you're spending more time on social media, I think you need to sit back and say, why am I doing this? Why? How is it benefiting me? And you know, if you just love doing it, that's one thing. But I think you need to separate yourself from love versus addiction. Is there a bit of addiction there? Do you feel that this is very truthful? Or do you understand the game that's being played? And I think that's inherently important.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, again, it comes back to knowing yourself. And then you got to make priorities in your life, don't you think, Ashley? I mean, if social media is your number one priority where you're spending 21 hours a day on it, okay, again, going back to the balance, all right, there's no balance there, okay? You know, so balance out your Facebooking with, you know, going out with friends and doing some sort of activity.
And you know what I also thought about the other day, and this also kind of frightened me, and I think it might frighten people, but it also might put things in perspective. Just like MySpace, right?
Yes.
Facebook might not be here that long either. And I think we've all put a lot more time in it than we really, in the end, when Facebook goes away and something else comes about and we think about all the time we put into the social media platform, how are you going to feel about that?
The return on investment.
Yeah. It's kind of like a really empty return.
Yeah.
I mean, you have something that has, it's not there. I mean, think about MySpace. How many of y'all have visited your MySpace page lately and how much time did you put into that?
See, here's the scary thought, Ashley. It's not going to be too much longer before somebody invents a computer chip that they can just install directly in your brain.
I don't want that chip.
Where the real world becomes the virtual world.
I don't want that chip.
Me neither.
I want to stay with the real world.
Me too.
I like it. It's not bad. So next time, think about the like button. Think about it on social media. Don't be so addicted to it. Understand what it means. Understand that it's us wanting attention, and that's fine, but realize that you can actually get real attention as well. Understand that you know your truth, and that a lot of this is all about perception versus perspectives, and that you don't have to be addicted to social media, that you can actually keep your self-worth and still get on social media, but know its boundaries and limitations. So stay tuned. We have a great show for you next week, and Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in three shakes.